Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, good morning. First of all, before we begin, we have to give Shevach V'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to everyone here. Today is our fourth year anniversary. We started this on Zos Chanukah 4 years ago. So time flies. Wow.
How are we celebrating?
How are we celebrating?
How many years ago?
4 years ago.
How are we celebrating?
We're going to eat the whole of the donuts. We have the whole of the donuts is the celebration. It's the most healthy. It's the healthiest part of the donut. There's no oil, no sugar.
I didn't say healthy.
Okay, well, somehow we'll have to celebrate some. We'll figure it out. Okay, the microphone again I mentioned to you is missing. It seems it was an affair here last night, and the microphone was used, and the microphone was put away in a secret location, which no one knows where it is. And Gimiz, okay. Okay, so let's continue. We'll do the best that we can without the microphone. We're up to Perek Beis, Pasek, I just had it one moment ago. Pasuk Yud Zayin, yes. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayehav HaMelech Hasestem Mikol HaNoshim Vatisochein V'chesed Lefnam Mikol HaBesulos Vayosem Kes Malchus B'Rosho Vayavlicheho Tachas Vashti. Okay, so this pasuk is the culmination of the entire plan that was put into place by Memuchan to select all the various maidens throughout the Medina. And as Pshutu Kimashmo Vayehav, it says that he loved her. Now the commentators want to suggest is that Esther was not a besula. Esther was an Eshes Ish, so it was a bit of a chiddush indeed that she was taken to begin with. And they have medayik here that that's why when it comes to a woman, a married woman, it does not say the word chein v'chesed. This is a very interesting idea. The terms chein v'chesed are only used in connection with a besula. A besula, someone that's it sheds light on the deeper meaning of the word chein v'chesed. I guess chesed means these are two words which mean you do not deserve. It's chein we know comes from the word chinam, a matnas chinam, and chesed also means kindness. Kindness typically refers to something which you do not deserve, and these two terms are used in reference to a besula, a young woman, but a be'ula, a married woman, a mature adult woman, it's more than just chein v'chesed. Then there's ahava. Ava, there's ava she'tluya b'dav, ava she'intluya b'dav, but it has a connotation that there is some reason. It's not an absence, just you like the person. And that's a very interesting idea that Achashverosh, he had ava. What? You can't hear?
You're out where the missing table is.
Oh, the missing table. It's with the missing microphone.
It's on that table.
Under the table.
Okay, but it's an interesting idea is that the word, this pasuk Yitzayin in the Megillah breaks up these two concepts. Ahava is associated with an older woman, and Chein V'Chesed is associated with a Besula. We know that Chein V'Chesed are two terms which have a connotation of free. There's no reason why you would want to express yourself in this way. What have you received in exchange for your Chein V'Chesed? But Ahava, in contrast, it's revealed, is a love where you can put on paper, you can express in words the reason why you have a love for a certain thing. That's maybe why we have in Chazal, there's a Ahava Tlui B'davar, and Ahava She'ena Tlui B'davar. So, I mean, you see one example, She'ena Tlui B'davar, but at least you do see that there is something called Ahava that's Tluya B'davar. There's a reason for it. And then there is Chein V'Chesed, which there is no reason whatsoever. Okay, that's just a pshat in the pasuk. Now let's see the Rashi pasuk Yudzayin. This is Mikol Hanoshim, as he explains, Mihabu Ulos Shaaf Noshim Habu Ulos Kibetz. He also collected Achashverosh also collected to test the candidates Noshim Beulos. Let's see Targum pasuk Yud Zayin. Targum will be here. It has a little bit more elaboration. Pasuk Rechei Malko Yos Esther Mikol Nishayo Dehavu Mis Nasvon Achashverosh loved Esther more than all the women that were married. Okay, Mis Nasvon. Now that's a very powerful word, because when you learn the pasuk on a very simple level, it says Mikol Habu'ula Mikol Hanoshim. And being that there's a contrast between Besulois and Noshim, so you would say these women were divorced, these women were widowed. But it's very bizarre, it's very shocking to think that Achashverosh would steal away a married woman, an Eshes Ish. Now we know that Esther was an Eshes Ish, that's not a kasha, because Esther, it was a big secret. They didn't even know that Esther was really married to Mordechai. But to go take women away from their husbands to be candidates for the king, that's scandalous, such a thing. But, and so if not for the Targum, you would say, well, he did not go that far. If a woman was in marriage, she can provide documentation that she's married, even if she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Achashverosh, it's hands off. He's not going to go take that woman. Not going to abduct her. Only the besulois and the women that were not married, who were their beulois, but at least they're not married. Here, the Targum says something very shocking. Urechei Malko Yoses Der Mikol Nishayod Hava Misnasbon. Misnasbon means they were married. He took a married woman. So you want to suggest. That it means that they were married in the past, and that's why they're bu'ulos. No one there engaged in marital relations out of wedlock. I don't know, maybe, but it simply means they were actually married. And then it says, "V'it anas rachamim v'tivu kodomohi mikol besulta," and it was the carry. He came upon him love, which is chen v'tivu and chesed before him of all of the besulos. V'shavei manicha didahava. Manicha means the crown of gold. Al reisha on her head. Uterad min. Now here is something very interesting. Uterad min. He took down from his bed chamber, kaiton means like a small chamber, based in moche of his palace, the statue of Vashti. In his bedroom, it seems, he had a statue of Vashti. Now, why was there a statue of Vashti when he brought into his bedroom every night another woman? So you can assume that he wanted to look at her image. She was the most beautiful woman in the world, so he always wanted to look at her image. Or on a deeper level, many of these women that he was with became pregnant. He must have had who knows how many children, must have had hundreds of children, because every single night he was with another woman and some of them became pregnant. So Chazal tells us that the tzur of a child looks like follows the thoughts the person has when they are with their spouse.
Chassidish is superstition as well, not to see.
When you come out of mikvah, when you come
images.
Out of, there is such a thing that when you come out of mikvah, you're supposed to go look to Shemayim.
Pregnant women should go to the zoo,
right? Because then they're going to see. Yaakov and the sheep. Yeah. Well, they say they do say scientifically there's studies that this is true. They've done testing with birds. They've done testing with birds, and they've shown it to be true, that there is something to it. That the machshava, no one can know how this works. It's not something which can be studied, but there is such a concept, and you see it over here as well, is that the tsura, the toyar, the form of the child resembles the machshava that the two partners have when they are engaged in this act. Therefore, when Achashverosh was with all of these Noshim, he had in front of him the statue of Vashti, so that the woman and himself should be Maharer after that beautiful image, and that way the child that would come forth would be beautiful like Vashti, because Vashti in his eyes...
Is that when they went from the mikvah to take a look at
Vashti? So Rabbi Yochanan was the most beautiful person. Rabbi Yochanan was Shufa the Yaakov Avinu. Something along those lines. And Rabbi Yochanan said he stood outside the mikvah when women would come out. They said to him, "How can you stand outside? Aren't you afraid you'll be nichshol? They'll start writing things about you online that this is what you do." So he said, "To me, a woman is like a piece of wood." That's what he said. It's like a piece of wood. Therefore, I don't have these problems. What does that mean exactly? Conquered his Yetzer Hara? Or does that mean that he was physically different than other people? I mean, he didn't have a yetzer, he didn't have hormones. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, but that's what it says.
Similar to Gemara in Kedusha, when they put the woman on the shoulder.
That's in Echnami, right? Right.
The case of a rocker.
Right, right.
So he took the kala on his shoulders, and they said to him, "How can you do such a thing? To me, the kala is a piece of wood." Or maybe in those days, no, the kala, that was a child bride. You know, you're dealing over here with the little children. Okay. But in any event, over here, this idea where there was a statue in the bedroom of Achashverosh, and the technique, the reason why the statue was there is that Achashverosh and the women that were brought into his room every evening should look at this image, so that the child that would come from this union would look like the most beautiful woman in the world, Vashti. Yeah.
You could say,
yes,
that he simply missed her in spite of everything.
Okay. He kept his...
Can we go into simple here?
Or yes. Wanted to compare, see how they compared to her.
Yes. I, you know, you remind me of a story. Someone used to always tell me the story about a certain person, Zivik Shaney, and they kept in the bedroom, the wife kept in the bedroom this beautiful image of her first husband. And this person that would frequent the home always thought it was so bizarre. Why, you know, this is Zivik Shaney, why is she still keeping on the wall the picture of her first husband? Okay, to each his own. But and the husband went along with this. He was okay with this, I guess. Whatever. But this is so. Here it says in the Targum that when Achashverosh took Esther as his queen, he took down the statue of Vashti, and he had made a new statue of Esther, and this was erected tachas Vashti. That's the deeper meaning of the pasuk. Vayamlicheha. That's what it means in the puzzle. Yes, and
if that's the case, then your previous explanation seems not to apply. Because what did he need an image for if he has the real person there?
What do you need the image?
That
she wasn't the only one that he was with. That was he still continued. He covets bisulos shenis. He can continue to have women pilakshim. The queen wasn't the only woman that Achashverosh had relations with. The king had pilakshim, and the pilakshim produced children. So those pilakshim, when they came into the bedroom, he had to see the image of Esther. Once you the Targum, Uterad, he took down Uterad min Kaiton, Beis Dimoche, he took down from the small chamber of Beis Damoche of his bedchamber, Yos Ikoinin. Ikoinin means the statue of the Vashti, Vayikim Tamon, and he put there Yos Ikoinin, the statue of the Esther, Vayisiv Yos Al Kursei Sinyon, and he put Yosei Al Kursei Sinyon. I'm not sure what that means.
Ikoinin doesn't necessarily have to be a statue.
An image. Okay, but actually, I think the Midrashim are more elaborate. They actually say that it means a statue. It's actually a bust.
I'm just saying, you could apply to even a portrait or a two-dimensional image.
Okay, I do not know what these words mean. The Esiv Yosah, he put her on the throne. So I mean, he means he put her on the throne. He gave her her throne. The Esiv Yosah Al Kursei, he put her on his throne. I guess there was a special throne for the queen, Sinyon, the second throne. There is the throne of the king, and then there is the throne of the queen. So he put the sinyon means the second one, the secondary throne. The amalich yosah chalaf Vashti, and he anointed her. He crowned her as queen in the place of Vashti. Okay, so the main thing over here that the Targum adds is the statue that was taken down from his bedchamber and replaced. And the second idea is the throne, a second throne that was fashioned specifically for the queen, and this was given to Vashti. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayas Hamelech Mishte Gadol L'chol Sarav Avodav Eis Mishte Esther. He made a Mishte Gadol for all of his servants, and it was called the Mishte of Esther. in honor of Esther v'hanocha. What else did he do in honor of Esther v'hanocha la medinos asa? He reduced the taxes. You can't score higher points with the citizens by reducing taxes. And he made it clear to them, the reason why I am reducing taxes is in honor of the new queen of Esther. Further, he gave, sent out gifts. He sent out bonuses. Kiyana Melech, with graciousness, Kiyana Melech means obviously, which means not just simple gifts, but lavish gifts. So he did three things. Three things were done to celebrate the new queen. Number one, there was a party, there were royal banquets every evening. Number two, he reduced taxes for a period of time. Number three, he actually went and sent gifts to the people, the citizens of the country. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches, V'anachol l'midinos aso l'chvoido, hiniach l'chem min amas she'alehem. In honor of her, he reduced the taxes. Vayitin Maseis, next words of Rashi, Shalach Doi Ronos Lohem, he sent them gifts. Viakol, so Rashi here is something very critical to understand the purpose of these three things that were done. Kidei Lefatoisa, in order to entice her, Ulai Tagid Moiladata, maybe she will reveal to Achashverosh where she comes from, her lineage. In other words, Achashverosh suspected that Esther, indeed, she's lying to him. She does know her lineage, and this excuse that she was an orphan, she was taken in by Mordechai. As Mordechai left Yerushalayim to Elam, to Bavel, was a lie. She really knew the truth. And therefore, now some commentators want to say further that there could be that there were people out there who knew information. Like today, and like they always put up signs, the 10 most wanted people. Anyone have information for this person leading to the arrest of a criminal? There's going to be a $10,000 reward. When you put out information, so therefore he did all of this to arouse, to gain publicity. Does anyone know any information about this woman that was picked up off the street 70 years ago? Every so often, like a cold case, right? It's a cold case. We want to know her identity. 70 was now 70 years later. I'm going to make a party. I'm going to, and everyone sees her picture. And obviously, there's going to be biographical sketches of her, and they're going to write up in the newspapers. And it's going to basically plead with the citizens of the country: if you know from your parents, your grandparents, what happened 70 years ago, who this girl is, from which country she comes from, please come forward, you will be greatly rewarded. It was all a publicity stunt, not just Esther, because Esther claimed, I don't know. I'm honestly telling you, I don't know where I come from. I was picked up off the street. But maybe there's someone out there in the world that does know, and if we want to generate publicity. To entice her, she will reveal. The next person goes on to say, she refused to reveal. Let's see the Targum and Pasuk Yud Ches. Davad Malkom Mishtaya Rabo Lechol Rav Rivono, he made a party for all of his officers, the Avdoy and his slaves. Vahava Kore, he called it Mishtaya de Esther. He called the party of Esther. Vahanoyas Shivok Kargo. Lifilchas Karg is the head tax. Here in Targum Edzin, there are many different types of, there's real estate tax, there's head tax, there's income tax, there are really three types of tax in the Gemara. So it says here in the Targum something very interesting, the Hanocha, La Medinos HaMelech was only head tax. But income tax stayed the same, land tax stayed the same. The only thing that changed is head tax you paid for your existence. Just the fact that you exist in this world, you have to pay tax, that was reduced. And he made a reduction in Shavok Kargo. Kargo is the head tax. Lifil Chaya Avad, for the people of his city, for the country, he did. Vihav Le Matnon, he distributed gifts. Vihulak Kimisas Yoda. He gave them gifts, v'chulak kimisas. In the chulak he gave out kimisas yoda, like the generosity of his hand, the malka. The gifts that were distributed were given out, like according to the king's generosity. Okay, now the question over here is, Let's go further. We'll come back to some of these. They're all tying together. Let's go further. Pasuk Yitzhak. Ubi Hikovets. Yeah. Yes, yes. What does he say?
He said there were people, unfortunately, once there were people who did say she was Israelis, However, as a terrorist organization now claims credit for every incident out there, because she was favored by the king.
They loved her so much.
She's out. She's out. So that was the question of where she went.
Well, he says here, there were many evil people. Kama dil toirin hayu b'Yisrael. There were many people that wanted to reveal the information, but because Esther was no say schein b'enei kol ro'eha, like you said, she doesn't go mecha v'hayu umos miskaros umos zum mishpachtiv zosarot kamokein l'tich lo hayu lamod al abir. Right, so it worked to her favor. It worked to her favor because since even though people were telling that she's Jewish, but there were so many other people that were saying no, but she's a Persian, she's a Madai, she's a Babylonian, she's an Egyptian, and therefore it was impossible to verify the truth from where she came from. Okay, we'll come to some more ideas in a few moments. Let's go a little bit further. Ein Esther, but Pasachov says even though then the king, he gathered the maidens a second time, and Mordechai was sitting with Shar HaMelech. The question over here is, what is the connection between Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech and Uvi Kovetz B'Suloshenis? And furthermore, why would he want to gather more women when already he had a queen? Once already he has a wife, you take your black book and you burn it. Right? What's the purpose of keeping all the shidduch resumes after you're married? So this is what? for the Zivik Sheni. Okay, so let's take a
stormy weather.
Okay, let's see what Rashi says. Rashi is silent. Targum Pasuk Yutes says Uvi is kanshus bisulasa zimna sinyana. When he, the king, gathered women for the second round, in other words, he wanted still to have more women. Mordechai, here's a very critical word, commentators pick up on this, and this is the major theme in the Megillah. Nitzalei v'azal v'yosei v'sha malka. He adds this in. Where does the Targum come to add this word in? Mordechai was davening. Mordechai, from beginning to end of the Megillah, over and over, in all the various parts of the Megillah, we find him davening, being mispalo. Mordechai was mitzalei v'azal v'yosei. He is deprayed for the safety, security of Esther, and he went and he sat in the gate of the king. Okay, now there are many midrash. Let's go one thing at a time. First, what was the purpose of him gathering all of these nuts? So we're going to think the Rashi will say a little bit later on, or maybe it's the Gra. The reason why he gathered was because Achashverosh suspected that Esther really knew where she came from, but refused to reveal this information. So Achashverosh asked his wisest advisor. Who was his wisest advisor? Mordechai. And Mordechai said, Einisha, a woman only gets jealous through the yorech, the thigh of another woman. A tzara. When a man has more than one wife, the two wives are called tsaros, they're at each other's throats. They're all competing for the attention, for the love of their husband. So Mordechai said to Achashverosh, why don't you take another wife? Why don't you take more pilakshim? Why don't you collect, have another beauty competition? And this way Esther will get jealous. And she'll get jealous if she has something to say, something to reveal, that she comes from royal lineage, she comes from good stock, she will be forced to reveal this information out of jealousy. So this was a technique that Mordechai employed in order through the advice of Achashverosh. Achashverosh wanted to discover where she came from. Mordechai told Achashverosh to do this trick. And that way, but the truth was, what was Mordechai really thinking? Maybe Achashverosh will find someone that he likes more. And one that he'll find, he'll select as the wife, and he'll leave Esther alone. He'll let Esther be alone. Either she will get divorced, or she will not get divorced. At least she will not have to have marital relations with Achashverosh, which was obviously problematic, halachically, for a nice Jewish Beis Yaakov girl to go into the bedroom of Achashverosh every so often. So Mordechai gave him this advice for his own reasons. Mordechai figured maybe he'll find someone that he likes better and leave Esther alone. But he fooled Achashverosh into thinking that this technique will be the technique that will succeed in revealing where Esther comes from. Even though it wouldn't make a difference, because Esther under no condition would reveal to Ahasuerus her royal lineage. She comes from Shaul HaMelech.
Point on the difference in Lashon from one pasuk to the next. Initially, it says that Lafi Esther knows his name,
Ene
Kol Roel. But when it comes to when she was taken to the kingdom, to the palace, it says Chayim or Chesed. And the reason for Chesed was that she put up a struggle and she refused to go. And normally, for the
other, kill her.
Kill them all outright. So the difference was he had this
very nice
bar,
Chesed.
So with that chesed is what prevented him from actually killing.
Even though she broke all the rules, right. She did. She,
the Malchus, and he would kill.
But still, he let her get by. Very nice. That's the chesed in the way she came to the king. Okay? He went the extra mile for her to let her get away with things that other women would not have been able to get away with. Okay, so that's the simple interpretation. The reason why they were collecting the women a second time was in order to go and make her jealous, in order, there was a real collection of women. Now, other commentators said it's not, and that's why the two are juxtaposed. It was to his advice, it was his technique that the women were collected a second time. Other sources, other commentators say it's just the opposite. Vikuvetz b'tzloshenis means they gather the women to send them home, to round them up. Once Ahasuerus found Esther, he was so happy. He was so happily married with Esther, so they didn't need all the other women. All these pilakshim and this collection of women that were there, it was just an expense. If the king would make use of these women, okay, so that's all part of his needs. I don't need them. What do I need these women for? I'm so happy, I'm so in love with Esther Hamalka. Who needs these women? Send them all home.
Here's the word besulos.
Besulos.
They were already bulo by them.
Okay, so maybe not. Maybe it means that they were not yet bulos. These were all online. They were all in waiting. All in waiting to spend the night with Ahasuerus.
So how do you have a shenus?
What?
It should be the first time.
It was a second collection. It was a collection for a different purpose. It was a roundup. The first roundup was a roundup in order that they should come. They should come to the king. Now he's rounding them all up to send them home. It was a second call. But it was all to go. Now, according to this and other, this and different interpretation, the reason why everyone got a promotion, there were gifts. Pasuk Yudches tells us three things were done. A party was made on behalf of the entire country. There was a reduction in taxes. And then it says, and he gave him, what could you give to the person that has everything? What are you going to give him? What is Mordechai lacking? Kavod. The gift you can give to the person that has everything is you give him a promotion. You give him a new title. Until now, you're only... I remember there was once a yeshiva dinner, and they wanted to give taco to the person that had everything, a very wealthy person. So what did they give him? They made him the president. They gave him the ultimate title of covenant. Until now, you were just an officer, you were a vice president, there was no president. The yeshiva never had a president. They just had people that worked in the office. The gift the yeshiva gave the person was, we're going to bestow upon you the title of president. Covenant. So that's what it means over here is that Mordechai also got a promotion in honor of Esther. Everyone should be happy. That was the gift given to Mordechai, especially since Mordechai was the one who raised this young lady. Mordechai, even no one knew the secret he was married to her, but Mordechai did raise her as a Sufi, so he got a gift, and now he got to sit mamish at the Shar HaMelech, the highest position in government available. Now, Pasichov says, after everything is... What?
Is it a real job or a notion?
I don't know. It's not clear. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
It's not an assembly state senator.
Megillah Sturm gives another reason.
Yes.
Shame. Because he said that Ahasuerus, not knowing her ancestry or lineage, was afraid to be boiled as she was there. Hugging, kissing, or whatever, but he was afraid.
Why was he afraid?
Because he was afraid she came from a very low lineage family, and he was afraid she would get pregnant and have children from a low
from slave children.
So, and that's why Taka did Aya, because the next pasuk Zuchav ties up to that, because it's En Omer. Why is he
That's what Rashi says, right? Because Eve, with all of his tricks, she still refused to reveal. Okay, this discuss question, if they actually live together, is a major, major topic. It's a major, major discussion. Did she live with him? The Daryavesh HaParsi. Was Daryavesh HaParsi the biological child of Ahasuerus? There's no answer to this question. There's a debate. Some say yes, some say not. There's a mystical idea is that she sent a shade. She sent a shade. Instead of she presenting herself to Ahasuerus, she sent whatever this means. All of these things are unresolved. No one really knows. There's so much. Was she meshameshes b'moich? When she, let's say, she didn't live with him.
But there are clues in either direction.
There are clues. So this it's unresolved. What degree would to clearly define the nature of this relationship? Look at Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, it says that he married Noshim from all over the world. Does it mean that he actually lived with them? Or does it mean he formed a political alliance? He was technically married to them. All of these women had a palace, but he didn't actually live with them. They were non-Jewish women. Did they convert? Yes, no. So this is also a very a debate. What exactly was the nature of the relationship between Ahasuerus and Esther, the relationship between Shlomo HaMelech and all of his wives? Okay, let's go further. Some of these things, they all come back. She still refused. She still refused to reveal Moladata, her nation. Moladata means, I'm sorry, her family, Viesamo, and her people. Esther saw the command of Mordechai, Esther fulfilled. What was the kasher? Just as she fulfilled the command when she was raised with him. Just as the good years before she was abducted to Ahasuerus, she was always silent. She refused. She kept the secret. No one knew where she came from. This continued even when she was the queen. She was in the palace of the king. Now there's a lot of things going on. Now the first thing before you even go to Rashi is notice the change of order. Here it says, "Ein Esther Magenis Moladata V'Yesama." First it says Moladata, then it says Zama. Back before, in which pasuk when we had the same pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, it says Lo Higida Esther Es Amo V'Yes Moladata. So all the commentators, they go to town. Why did there it say Amo first and then Moladata? And here does it say Moladata V'Yes Amo? So it's a very important answer. The answer is because first of all, it's a better question. Why the repetition? Why the repetition? We already know this. And then, and even in this pasuk itself, this repetition. Then it goes on to say, "V'yasama Mordechai Yester Asa Kashah Yisav V'yamna Ito." So that's the same idea. The idea is repeating itself twice. What's going on here? So the answer is this is for a different purpose. Back in pasuk Yud, where it says that she did not reveal the reason why she did not. When Ahasuerus said to her, "Tell me where you come from," or Hege said, "Tell me where you come from, so I can prepare you for the king." Tell me, so she refused to do so. So when you want to know a person's lineage, the first thing you want to know is the nation, your race. Are you Jewish? Are you a Gypsy? Are you Egyptian? Are you a Parsi, a Modai, a Babylonian? Then after I know that you're Jewish, okay, now tell me which family. Are you from the Kohanim? Are you from the Levim? Are you from the Yisraelim? Do you come from Shevet Gad, Shevet Asher, Shevet Yisachar? Oh, now we know you from Shevet Yisachar. Tell me which line, which branch. There are 25 major families in Shevet Yisachar. Tell me where you come from exactly. So there the question was to know her identity to determine if she is eligible to be taken to the king. Okay, somehow she was able to. So when you want to know a person if they're eligible, you know their identity, their social security number. You know, the first digits of the social security number are the more general numbers. It represents the race. Then when you get down, it represents the year. I'm sure in the social security numbers, you know, they can right away tell them the first digits. You write the first digits, you know the more general period of time of when this number was issued. When you get down to the little numbers at the end of the number, that's the more the details. I want to, you know, your identity. This pasuk that we just read is referring to giving, bestowing gifts. The question was not for your identity. Ahasuerus said, "Listen, you don't want to tell me who you are? Fine. It doesn't matter because you're already the queen. You already have the crown. You're already sitting on the throne. You're already my wife. But now I have another agenda. I want to bestow gifts to the country. I want to give gifts to your where you come from. So even if you don't want to tell me specifically which family, at least tell me your race so I can be good. If you come from Israel, I'll give them $25 billion in aid. If you come from Cuba, I'll lift all the sanctions. Right? You come from Iran? So we'll let them do whatever they want. You don't want to tell me. You don't want to tell me your family. So don't tell me your family. It's not to know. I want to know. I'm sorry. The other way around. I want to be good to the people that raised you. You come from a family. Mordechai, he raised you. So you know what? I was good to him. I gave him a position. He's Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech. Tell me, you must have some cousins. You must have some uncles and aunts. Tell me their names. I'll give them jobs. I'll make life good for them. And then if you'll really be good to me, you'll tell me where you come from, your race, then I'll be good to the entire nation. So the point is, here he's coming to ask her identity, not to know who she is. He's coming to ask the identity in order to bestow gifts upon her closest relatives. When you bestow gifts, you first give a gift to your closest relative, and then you expand, you give gifts to the more distant relatives. So the order is first the more specific, Moiladita, and then the more general, V'yesama, because I'm coming to give gifts. Back in Pasuk Yud, he's not coming to give anything. He's coming to for proof of identity. Identity, first tell me your nation, your race, then tell me your family. That's why there's a change of order, and that's why there is repetition.
Why did Mordechai tell him not to reveal their identity?
Because once you give away little bits of information, automatically everything is going to become revealed. Once you maintain the mystery. Mordechai, according to the simple interpretation, was because Mordechai wanted, we had this with Rashi, actually Rashi explained this before, simply because Mordechai wanted her to be released. He wanted her to be released, and if she was stubborn, maybe Achashverosh will say, listen, she's stubborn, I'll find someone better than her. I'll find someone that's going to tell me where she comes from, because it was a technique. Or Mordechai and other commentators, they take the approach that Mordechai was afraid for his life. If Achashverosh were to find out that she is Jewish, he would kill her. And he would kill Mordechai, because she is coming in the aftermath of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. She's coming in the aftermath of Nebuchadnezzar, Vashti, and the whole thing. So there was a very great sakana in revealing your Jewish identity. That's another approach. Another approach was he saw
what the reason would be.
Less is more. It was a grand plan. This was everything was beyond off the charts. Hashkocha pratis. How could such a thing happen? The chance of she being selected and taken to the Melech HaKashas, the queen, is one in a billion. Not even. And how could, so therefore he felt that there's something special happening. And if this information has not yet been released, maintain the status quo. If Hashkocha has it that Achashverosh does not yet know who her identity, and this has unfolded, I'm not going to be the one to reveal this information, and she's not going to be the one to reveal this information. If the information will get out, that's be Hashem's doing, not through us. If Hashem was orchestrating this master plan, which was clearly something extremely unusual, don't reveal more information than is required. So there are three approaches. The big master plan, it was Pikuach Nefesh, or Mordechai wanted desperately for Achashverosh to release her and take a queen, another queen, in her place.
What you said in terms of why it's with Vashti, with Esther, Megillus and Storm adds after that, if you read the whole thing, that he didn't sleep with her because she was so beautiful, and if she got pregnant
it would take away her beauty. Okay.
Destroy that.
She was also 80 years old.
Right, so that's exactly what I was thinking. Because that's why he had the statue there, if that's what it is. He liked to look at her, and he satisfied his bodily urges to allow it. And being covered, so shameless, he had again.
Okay, now there's another. There are some drushim, some homiletic ideas. on this, some messages in this pasuk. The reason, the question a lot of the commentators ask is why the repetition. We already learned the pasuk Yud. There was Esther refused to reveal where she came from. Again, it says the same thing over here. And it goes on to say, repeat the esmamar, the command of Mordechai. Esther also she fulfilled kasher just like Haisa the Amleta. What is the repetition? So the answer is that when a person is raised to a position of honor, more often than not, the kavod gets to you. It dilutes your mind. It corrupts your way of thinking, and it takes enormous stamina and discipline in order not to let kavod change your way of thinking. Here the pasuk is telling us the great righteousness of Esther. Esther was a humble person when she was raised in the home of Mordechai. She was a simple person. She did not want to brag. Now, we have to also understand that she had what to brag about. Revealing that she was a descendant of Shaul HaMelech would earn her special rights, great honor and distinction and kavod. She was humble. I don't want to reveal to anyone I'm a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, was a legend. Okay, we don't appreciate this. We're living so many years after these events. But you tell someone in those days, Esther, I'm an enicle of Shaul HaMelech, they would bow down before you. That was society. That was life. She was a humble person. She refused to reveal this information when she was raised in the home of Mordechai. She figured, what am I? I'm an orphan. I don't have a father, I don't have a mother, I don't have parnasa. I'm being raised. It was easy. But now, when she's taken as the queen of the entire world, Achashverosh, and she's been raised to such a great position of honor, we don't even begin to imagine the Yetzirah, the desire, Esther, was the struggle that she faced to reveal this information that, yes, I'm deserving of this honor. After all, I am a descendant of Shaul HaMelech. Yet, the pasuk says here, to her praise, she maintained the same degree of humility, simplicity, in not revealing, not taking credit, not bragging, even though she was being given honor daily with presents and reduction of taxes and all of these things that are mentioned over here, just like the same degree of humility that she displayed, she expressed when she was living in the home of Mordechai as an orphan. Nothing changed. It's here to do nothing other than to give her praise. It's not a statement. It's giving her praise. Do you know who we are dealing with here? We're dealing here with a person that does not allow kavod to corrupt their way of thinking. Okay. Now there's another very important idea. Why did we mention that she did not reveal? She was coming to be misaken in the chait. Here, she's coming, but here is a tikkun of the chait of her great-grandfather, Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech lost his malchus. Why? Because he did not listen. He did not follow instructions. Shaul, twice, Shmuel told him, the first thing was, I'm coming in 7 days. You are to go to this location. I will come, I will meet you there in 7 days, and we will offer the sacrifices together. Shaul arrives. The people recognize the king is here, and they say, you know, it's getting late. We have to light candles. Let's get the show on the road. Shaul says, wait a few minutes. A few more minutes. Shmuel's supposed to come. He's not coming. And the pressure was building and building until finally he caved in. And the moment after he offered the sacrifices, who shows up? Shmuel Hanavi. And Shmuel says, Strike one, you made a big mistake. I told you to wait for me. The first thing a king has to know is to follow instructions. You did not follow instructions, you caved to public pressure. Strike one. Watch out. And then the second thing, three examples, I don't remember this, but the main other example, which the straw that broke the camel's back, was he failed to kill Agag. He failed to kill Agag, and in fact, by not killing Agag, that evening, Agag fathered a child with a shifcha, from which came Haman Harasha, the whole story of the Megillah. All because Shaul did not obey the command of his superior. So here, Esther is now, he lost the Malchus. Esther realized, look at this, My great-great-grandfather was the Melech. And look at that. Second chance. I'm the queen. I'm the queen of the entire world. Okay, it's not the queen of Klal Yisrael, but it's the queen of the entire world. Achashverosh, she ruled the world. Mehodu v'yad Kush. Mehav Yeshem, 127 Medinos. She ruled the whole world. Where do I come to be a queen over the entire world? Well, my great-great-grandfather was the king of Klal Yisrael that was going to be the king over the entire world. Where did he go wrong? He went wrong in not listening, in not following instructions. So that's what the pasuk over here says. As soon as it says in pasuk Yitzayin, "Vayosem kesem alchus b'roshu v'yam liichero tachas vashti," Esther was a clever woman. I'm not going to make the same mistake as my great-great-grandfather. My superior is Mordechai. Mordechai is the Rosh HaSanhedrin. He is serving in the capacity of the Navi. Of the Navi of the generation. Chacham Odof Mi Navi. And if he tells me not to do something, I'm not going to cave in to pressure no matter what. And the pressure here was off the charts. Off the charts. Every single night of party, Esther, tell us where you come from. Tell us where you come from. Taxes. Gifts. Everyone is getting a promotion in your honor. You're not going to tell us where you come from? What's the problem over here? Your position is secure. I'm not going to make the same mistake my great-great-grandfather Shaul made. That mistake cost him his malchus. If I make this mistake, it's going to cost me the malchus. And that's the significance of this pasuk over here. She's the queen, and this is not going to be history repeating itself. We're not going to allow that to happen.
I think the other mistake was before Shaul's coat.
David, he tore his... A shawl. Shawl ripped the garment. No, that it was the other way around.
As he was leaving.
Yeah.
One of those.
Okay. We have to go back and study Shmuel in detail. Okay, but that is a very important theme here in this pasuk.
Now it's the part of her that they did not know that she came from Mordechai's home.
That was the nace. That was all part of the great miracle. The great miracle was circumstances that Mordechai, as we mentioned last week, she was born the moment, at the time of the Golos. There was a lot of confusion. Golos Yehoyachin, Nebuchadnezzar rounded up 10,000 people, the best of Klal Yisrael, the Chorosh v'Hamasker, which simply means the craftsmen, all of the workers, or according to Chazal, it means the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. There was a lot of confusion. And at that moment in time, she was born. The moment she was born, her mother died. The mother died in childbirth. So it was a mazel. It was a mazel that there was so much confusion at that moment in time that he was able to take her. No one really knew her identity. And they went down to Bavel. And in Bavel, she was raised for 70 years. And that all worked towards her advantage that she was able to conceal where she actually came from. Okay, now let's go now to... Okay, let's go. Let's start the next story. The things that I'm forgetting, we'll come back to at some point in time. Bayam Mohem Mordechai Yoshev b'Shar HaMelech. During those days, Mordechai was Yoshev b'Shar HaMelech. Kotzaf, big son of Osiris, Shnei Sarisei HaMelech, Mi Shemrei Hasaf. Two officers, their names were big son of Osiris. They were two of the Melech from Mi. The Mem is a very important word, the letter. Mi Shemrei Hasaf, from the officers of the Saf. Saf is a hard word to translate. We're going to discuss in detail. It can mean one of two things. Either it means the threshold, like it says in Mitzrayim, the Karban Pesach. Basaf is the threshold. So they stood by. They were guardians. They stood by the door. Or Saf can also mean utensils. They were in charge of the pots and pans. They were in charge, like the Sar HaMashkin and the Sar HaOifim. They served in a similar capacity where they worked in the kitchen and they had utensils. We're going to see the Targum and Rashi, and they're both important because the Marsha says they're both true, and we'll see in a moment why. Vayivakshu, it was their desire, they had a plan. Lishloyach Yod Bamelech Achashverosh. They wanted to assassinate the king. Okay, let's first see Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Rashi says, did we do the Targum and Pasuk Chaf? Did we do the Targum Pasuk Chaf?
No, we
didn't. I don't think we did. We did not do it. So we didn't do it. Very important. Okay, before we do this, we have to do the Targum. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Rashi first. Ein Esther Magedes Melad. The Tadlufi Shemurcha Yeshe B'Sharmelcha Hamezarza V'hamiramza al kach. Okay, so Rashi Pasachov says, Rashi explains the juxtaposition of Kasher Tzivo Lecha Mordechai. Mordechai was Yosheb Shar Melech, and he would constantly remind her and encourage her and hint to her, don't tell the secret. Don't reveal where you come from. From Rashi it's Mashma, that if not for Mordechai's continuous support and encouragement, Esther would have caved in. Targum, very fascinating Targum. Pasikhof, Bezimna, Hado at that time, Havishola Malka, the king asked her, Me'edan Umo At, from where do you come? Tell me, what is your lineage? Reveal the secret of your lineage. V'lo Havas Esther Mechavyo, she would not speak, she would not discuss Yalduso, her Yaldus, where she, I guess her childhood, her background, the Yosama, her nation, Kumodifaked Allah Mordechai. Next, okay, so that's statement number one. She refused to reveal, he adds in more elaboration, her Yaldusa, which seems her upbringing. Maybe if she would reveal some stories about her upbringing, you know, they, like, you know, there's a famous story with the Panovich Harav. The Panovich Harav, he would negotiate with missionaries to give back after the Holocaust to Jewish children. There were many Jewish children that were stolen by missionaries, by the Christians. And they refused to give them over to Jews. They refused when the war was over. So he walked in, he snuck into the dining room where they were all gathered, and he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And anyone that would turn their face, he knew was a Jew. Because these were children, these were infants, when they were very small, when they were taken, but their parents would sing with them Shema Yisrael. And when they heard Shema Yisrael, it triggered a memory. And he saw that reaction. He made an investigation. Through his investigation, he was able to determine they were Jews and was able to save these little children. So, similarly, if you want to add that idea into Targum, it says here the word Yaldusa. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It says, Ein Esther Magedes Moladata V'yesama. He words are Yaldusa. Moladata, it seems to say her upbringing. Moladata, her upbringing, Yaldusa. If she would discuss, Mechavya means to discuss. If she would discuss Yaldusa, her upbringing, she would reveal secrets that we can definitely be used to trace where she came from. And she refused to give away any hint. And then it says her nation, okay, like Mordechai can. Now we go to the second half of the pasuk, which is really very interesting. V'yos mama Mordechai have Esther avdas. What does that mean? Esther continued to follow the command. What was the mamar? The command of Mordechai? Avdas shabaya. She observed Shabbos. She continued to be a shemeres Shabbos. Umo adaya. The festivals. Havas Natra, she guarded. Also, Havas Natra, Biyome Richuka, Hava Mizdahara, and Havas Natra, Biyome Richuka, she observed the laws of Nida. She kept herself distant from Achashverosh, kept herself distant from Mordechai when she was in Nida. Havas Mizdahara, Tavshilin Vichamra, the Amamin Nuchroin, and she did not eat non-kosher food, non-kosher drink from the nations. Lohavi Toama, Vichol Pikudaya, the Is Chaiva, Vichon Nishaya, the Beis Yisrael. All of the laws, the mitzvos that were incumbent upon a Jewish woman. What does that mean? What are we referring to? What, she kept the laws of candles, Shabbos candles? Or does it mean over here that she observed all of the mitzvos that say, Shalei Hazman Grama? Nashim have a unique set of mitzvos. Mitzvos I say she has man grama, they're pot, but if it's not man grama, they're chayif. Lois I say is their chayif. Then there are certain mitzvos which are designated for noshim, like ner Shabbos is miyuchel noshim. That's what it says here. V'chol pikudaya the is chayvon v'chol nishaya the beis Yisrael. All of the mitzvos which the Jewish girls are commanded, havas notra she guarded al pum Mordechai. According to the command of Mordechai, heichma, just like the havas natras, she observed kat havas mis rabio ime when she was raised with him. Just because she was abducted, she was in the palace, she did not Givin was not lenient on any matter of Jewish law. Don't make a mistake and think that since she was in the palace, she was forced, according to the Targum, she was forced to eat non-kosher, to not observe the laws of Nida, not to be mekayim the various Shabbos and Moadim. No such thing. That's what this pasuk is coming to teach us according to the interpretation of the Targum. She was 100% observant in the palace of the king. Okay, now let's go further. Now we come to Bayam Mohem Mordechai Yeshu Shamelach. We mentioned the Katsapik, so essentially with the pasuk, let's see over here, the Rashi, L'shloach Yod, L'hashkoi Soy Sam Hamavis. Rashi says, we want to know what was their attempt, what was their plan. Rashi says they wanted to poison him, to poison his drink. Let's see Targum. The Targum, that's all Rashi says. Targum, Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, B'yoymaya ho'inun, in those days, Mordechai Yosef, he was sitting by Sanhedrin. So Targum says, when it says the Shar HaMelech refers to the Sanhedrin, D'sakinas lay Esther b'sra Malka. This is very bizarre. Esther, the queen, with her authority, elevated Mordechai to the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and commanded that the Sanhedrin be located to the gate of the palace. So until now, the Sanhedrin was located in Borough Park, and she gave the command they should relocate to the capital. The Rosh HaSanhedrin, the Sanhedrin will sit in Washington, D.C. That's where it's going to be, right outside the White House is where they're going to set up the Sanhedrin. That's what it says. That's what it says. She established that they should sit.
That's exactly.
So we're going to come to that. And when Mordechai saw these two servants, Kidain, Kinasu, when they gathered together, Ukit Safu, and they got angry, V'amaru, and they said, Dain Lodain, they said one to another, Halo Malkisa, the Piska Malka, the queen, through the queen, through the command of the king, in other words, it was through the queen, she issued an order, a royal order that was signed and was signed by the king, to remove us, and to appoint Mordechai in our place. They had a personal grievance against Mordechai and against Esther and against the king, because this, according to Targum, until this point in time, they had authority. They were the ones that were Yoishev Bishar HaMelech. Esther issued a command that big son Viserys should be removed, and in their place, Mordechai and his Sanhedrin should sit in that location. There is less revusa. There's nothing better to do. Lissaloka train kilo santarin. Ula okamo chad, is it proper to remove two and appoint one? What was their argument? We are two, and two have been replaced by one. Is this logical, what's taking place over here? There's corruption. There's corruption in the government to remove two officers and replace two with one. Until now, we sat together in this location, and now they're putting one. One more time the words. Lesru Vusa. It's a rhetorical question. Lesru Vusa, is it not Vusa a good thing, Lesaloka, train? It's less revusa. It's not correct. It's not a good thing. L'saloka trained to remove two kilo santarin. That means officers. Uloikama, and to replace them with bechan with one. Bechain therefore isyatu. They took counsel. Bili shanhon with their native language. Meaning that they spoke a foreign language they thought that Mordechai would not understand. Big son of Viserys, Tirsoe, they were from the nation of their Tirsoe. Train Rav Rivone, Malka, these two officers of the king, Menatre, who were guardians of the Palatira, who were guardians of the palace, the Amaru, and they said, La Ashoka, Sama, Dimosa, Dimitul, that is brought La Esther Malkisa. So they said, we're going to poison Esther. Okay, this is a little thing that most people don't know. According to the Targum, Bigson v'Seresh, their plan was not only to assassinate Mordechai. The plan was to assassinate Esther. Now, that all explains, opens up the big question, why was Mordechai so concerned? Before we go further in the Targum, there's a very big mystery. There are a lot of Mefarshim, it's not just a big mystery, but they asked the question. It's not such a good question, but the question is still asked by everyone. Why did Mordechai care? So big son of the Seresh wanted to assassinate Achashverosh.
Yes.
So go ahead. That will free Esther. Esther will then be a widow, and there'll be a new king, and the new king's not going to necessarily want to take the old queen as his wife, so she'll be released. So it should have been to the advantage, it should have been a good thing that Achashverosh would be assassinated. So why did Mordechai speak up and reveal the plot?
It would end up going back. It would ruin the point that he had.
Okay.
That's why
so it's not so you give many, many answers, but the question is this.
Who is that kind of a person who would think of the future?
Right, exactly. So the Josh may actually say there's a lot of things to discuss about, to discuss this. Exactly. You don't know what's going to be. We'll come to that in a moment. But according to the Targum, the question does not even begin.
Right.
Because according to the Targum, most people don't know this, the plot was to murder, to assassinate Esther and to assassinate Achashverosh. So then of course we have to reveal the plot, because my wife Esther is in danger. So here it says they said they're going to give poison, Samad the Mosul Dimtul, they're going to bring a cup of poison that's going to be poured to Esther Malkasa Ulo Shita Yada B'Malk Achashverosh Limiktele B'Saifa, and they're going to decapitate Achashverosh. Achashverosh will be killed with the sword. And Esther will be killed with a potion, the poison potion, the base demucha in the palace. Now this is not like Rashi. Rashi makes absolutely no mention of Esther being killed. Rashi only makes mention of Achashverosh, and it is Achashverosh that was going to be poisoned with a drink. Targum says no. Achashverosh was going to be poisoned with they're going to be killed. They're going to kill with a sword. And the Medrash says they would hide. They were the first shoe bombers. They were going to hide a sword, a small sword, in their shoes. And Esther was going to be killed with a poison. They're going to kill them both. Now, the Mefarshim, the elaborate, they say something very fascinating. Wasn't Bigson the Seresh, weren't they afraid that they would be caught? I mean, Bigson the Seresh, they're planning to assassinate the king. There's going to be a very, very thorough investigation, and they're going to be caught. They're going to be killed. So the plan was a setup. They're going to assassinate Achashverosh, and they're going to plant the evidence on Esther, and they're going to poison Esther to make it look like a murder suicide. And then no one will attribute what happened to them. That was the plan. And worse, Big Son of Esther, according to the Medrash, knew that Esther was Jewish, and they knew that in the investigation it will come out that the queen Esther, who is Jewish, is the one who assassinated Achashverosh. It would then launch a pogrom against the Jews. No more immigration for the Jews. Okay, it's not at what?
It's always the case. The Jews get blamed.
Right, so that's exactly, so it's a lot more elaborate than we think. So review, according to the Targum, with the embellishment of the Midrashim and other commentators in the Marshad, and again, also one more point. There's a Machlokes, what is called Saf. Some learn Saf refers to the Kalim, and some learn Saf means the threshold. Elu, the Marshad says, Elu the Elu Diri Elokim Chayim. They had access to the Kalim in order to put poison in the goblet of Esther, and they also stood by the door with weapons, which gave them access to enter with their weapon and actually decapitate, actually stab and murder Achashverosh. So the Saf is the threshold. They need that access for the weapons, and they need the Saf to refer to the utensils to give access to insert poison in the goblet of Esther. The plan was to assassinate Achashverosh, to poison Esther and put the evidence on Esther to make it look like, which was very common, Esther assassinated Achashverosh, realized she'll never get away with it, and then committed suicide by drinking a cup of poison. And then it will be revealed who's the one that, where does Esther come from? She's a Jewess. She's related to Mordechai. And then the Jews will be blamed. And the Medrash goes so far to say this is really shocking. Who was the master of this plan? Who was the brain? Haman. Haman was the one that was behind this entire plan. He was the one that was working with Bigsan Viseresh because Haman wanted to become the king. Haman had his own time. Haman was depressed because Haman, the reason why he advised that Vashti should be executed is because Haman had a daughter who he wanted to become a queen. And when Achashverosh rejected his daughter, Haman now wanted to kill Achashverosh. How dare you reject my beautiful daughter, and instead take this girl that was raised by Mordechai. So Haman had a plan to assassinate the king. Haman was next in line, or close line enough to become the next king of Paras and Mordechai. He was behind this entire plan. Haman hated the Jews. Haman probably also knew the secret that Esther was Jewish, and Haman wanted to destroy the Jews.
There's no evidence that he knew her identity, because it doesn't play out later.
Okay, later on we know this information, because later when this Medrash appears at the end of the story, when Esther said Ish tsar v'yev hamon haro hazeh, then Charvonis said, I want to tell you, king, you should know, remember that investigation, Bigsan Viseresh? There was one missing link. There was one missing link, classified information. I'll tell you the missing link, Haman. Haman was the one that wanted to kill you. He wanted to become the king.
But it doesn't mean he knew what Esther's identity.
Okay, that's a very big mystery.
He was out to get Mordechai.
But this was a very elaborate plan.
And that's true.
All of the different pieces of information, the Targum and Rashi and the Marsha and a little Medrash later on, a little Medrash over here, puts together this master plan of what was about to unfold, and everyone had their own agenda. Haman had an agenda, Bigsan Viseresh had an agenda, and luckily the miracle, some would even want to say that this miracle was even bigger than the poor miracle. Because if this taka would have happened, there would be no hope. If this plan would have gone through, which very likely could have gone through, Haman, Achashverosh would have been assassinated, Esther would have been murder suicide, she would have been blamed, the whole world would be very happy, then they would just reveal that it's a Jew who did this entire thing, and would unleash all the anti-Semitism in the world to kill, to wipe out all the Jews. So this was a very, very great Purim miracle, which preceded the next miracle that's yet to come later in the Megillah.
One point on the language they spoke, it said, the Targum and others say they spoke Parsi.
Parsi, yes.
Parsi is from Tarshish. And the clue to that is the name Big Son and Teresh. Teresh understood as somebody from
the nation of Tarshish. Very good, very good. Okay, there's a lot.
Why did Mordechai want to reveal who this was Jewish?
So we discussed that before. We discussed three main sakana. If it was revealed that she was Jewish, she would be in mortal danger, as would Mordechai and the entire Jewish people. Number two, Mordechai wanted her to be released. If Achashverosh could not identify her, he would have no choice but to release her. And number three, Mordechai saw there's a master plan unfolding, and if Hashem has not revealed this information, he's not going to be the one to reveal this information. Okay, we will stop here. We'll continue Mishnah tomorrow. I have two handouts. How's Kalish?
He's going to the doctor this morning.